Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, guys. DGS, a few minutes past 6 p.m. Happy Friday to everybody. I'm holding in my hands a beautiful bottle of Devil's River Bourbon Whiskey, small batch Texas bourbon whiskey. I like bourbon. I love the way it looks. I love the way it looks in a bottle. And Rachel, we've talked about this before. I grew up watching Days of Our Lives with my mom from the time I was born. And when they would go in and get like, they'd pour some dark liquor out of a crystal container. Mm-hmm. I just like, that must be the best tasting stuff in the world. Mm-hmm. It just looks so fancy. And
all those fancy adults are enjoying it.
The bottles have become the coolest part of drinking now.
Yeah,
I love looking at the bottles.
So Devil's River is now a sponsor of DGS5. So thanks everyone at Devil's River, and pick it up everywhere.
Cool.
This one's about half empty because Wiggins hit it pretty hard. So you like it?
I do. I like whiskey and bourbon both.
Now, do you not drink a drop, or you just don't drink that much?
I just don't drink that much. I'm around people who drink all the time, and I just don't really care.
At church.
At church. Yeah. No, that's not a joke.
So that's not really? That's not a thing for you.
No, not at all. Although the people I'm with, they're really into craft beers.
Yeah.
That's a big thing. I just can't get on board. Like, I just drink a Budweiser in the summer, and that's it.
I like Schlafly has a raspberry Hef, which is really fruity and yummy. I can do a craft beer like that, where it's almost like not drinking a beer. But when you get into, like, the peanut butter stouts and, I don't know, it just dries out my mouth.
I'm with you.
I don't like it.
Yeah. Would you drink to the point of inebriation?
If it was just me and my wife hanging out, yes.
So you don't think there's anything anti-Christian about being drunk?
I mean, it's all about the witness. And if you're out in public and people think that that's uncouth, then yeah, I would feel bad about it. But, you know, if it's just, we're just hanging out.
Did you get any feedback from the whole what DNA would Jesus have?
Yeah.
Did you? Good.
Did you?
I mean, not personally.
I did on Twitter.
Yeah, well, that's actually what I'm referring to, is more
what like what kind audience. Of things do people have to say?
Just that they thought it was a cool discussion.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I can't imagine anybody being like offended by that stuff. Not that. That really
I can't.
Really?
Yeah. People like to get offended.
People like to get offended.
But here's
the thing, though. I really truly believe this, that people can approach things from a clearly offensive point of view. You know, and when someone does that, I don't mind when someone goes, I'm not going to have this conversation. You're just trying to make fun of me or catch me in something. But I think anytime when I was a Christian, anytime someone would approach me with a legitimate question, let's talk about it.
Well, that's what I felt like that was a legitimate question. I mean, it's kind of a weird question, but it was fun to talk about. And anytime somebody approaches me with a genuine question, even if it's ridiculous, because we're talking about supernatural stuff. Sometimes your thoughts go to ridiculous things because you're like, well, what if?
Mm-hmm.
But if you can tell somebody's genuine about it, then go
and
for it.
And I think that's not a throwaway question, because I think it has important religious underpinnings, that if Jesus was God and man, then he was man. And he had a blood type, and he had DNA, and I think, you know, 3,000 years ago, we had no idea what DNA was, so it's an interesting exercise.
It is. That's a very, very interesting question, and a weird question at the same time, which I enjoy, but I take this from it. Like, you were thinking about that. The whole time you're talking about it, I was thinking more in terms of, you're thinking past, like, What was Jesus' body like? So Jesus is resurrected. So then what was his resurrected body like?
Yeah.
That's where my mind goes into the future of where does our resurrection go-to, which we talked about, I guess, a few days ago, too.
Yeah, not that you would, but if you did a blood test on a resurrected person,
yes,
what would you get?
That's exactly where my mind was going.
Want to hear something interesting? Right, you probably have heard this over the years. My earliest memory is from my second year. I wasn't quite three, because my family remembered it. We used to talk about it, and it was a dream I had, and get this. So my dream was that my mom and I were running through this beautiful white marble palace, and there are these big stairs. I can see it in my mind right now, big set of stairs to get up to where we needed to be safe. And she was ahead of me, and I was, you know how you are in dreams, and I couldn't quite get there. And she reached her hand down to me, and someone grabbed me and pulled me to the side of the beautiful throne room we were in, and a door slid open, and it was people, it was flames, and it was people like pushing carts of coal, and this guy with like a beard and sort of like a caveman cloth on him,
loincloth,
yeah, like reached out to grab me, and a flame hit my face, and I woke up, and I couldn't sleep for days because I was terrified I'd go back into that dream. And it's when I was like a little toddler. And it's, to this day, and I'm a dreamer, to this day, one of the most non-dream dreams I've ever had. It felt more like real life. And I dream every night, and I remember them every night.
We could parse that for a while.
I know.
Well, how do you interpret it, though? Or do you interpret it? Or you just...
I don't know. The only thing, so it blew me away. I was looking through something weird years ago, and I found a very old cartoon. When I was a kid, there were cartoons from like earlier in the 50s or even 40s that were just bizarre. Mm-hmm. And there was one about like these elves that lived in the middle of the earth, and they made everything work.
I remember that.
And I think that's where I got the guy from, because they all look like that guy. So I think that that's where I got the guy from. But then, when you're three, or maybe even if I was four, we weren't a particularly religious family, but to have all that religious, you know, iconography in it, and you know, the clear, like, this is heaven and you're trying to get there.
Maybe it happened in an episode of Days of Our Lives.
Could be. Maybe I was just hopped up in the goofball.
Maybe.
When you dream now, do you take it as your subconscious trying to just get things out, or do you try to analyze, maybe this is from God? Or
I'm not a subscriber of like dream interpretation. When it's like, oh, you dreamt about Jell-O, that means blah.
I'm not either.
Yeah, I just think that's like astrology. That's just someone, yeah. I can do that too. Oh, gorillas mean this. But I just think that it's your brain firing things off. And I think it's your brain's way of working through stuff that's just difficult.
Well, you answered my question, because basically what I was asking is, what do you think is the source of these messages that you're getting?
If there's a God, he can certainly
talk through
dreams. But I just think that it's electrical noise that comes out in weird patterns. But I also think it's like, you know, because you'll dream about things that you're worried about. So clearly your brain knows, like, oh, you're really worried about that test or whatever it is.
But there are some dreams that are different. And you were just describing one that you had when you were a toddler.
It really was.
You still remember it. So it had an impact on you, and you felt like it was more real than real.
Yeah.
So those dreams do something different.
They stand out.
You can tell the difference, too.
Yeah.
Now, I don't have a lot of those.
I have a ton of those.
Do you really?
Yeah, I dream... I think I'm kind of on both sides of that. I think it is your brain just sending off messages. But then I do think it's times where if you have a dream that feel, not even that it feels real, but I have dreams all the time that I'm not in. And I'm just like watching something happen.
That's called watching TV, actually. You're awake.
No. I'm asleep. And I will just, and it's vision-like. And I don't think I'm actually watching something happen. But it's like watching a scary movie in my head. A lot of times it's disturbing and upsetting.
It's really, I don't have those. That's really interesting.
Yeah, I have those pretty frequently.
I don't have dreams almost at all anymore. Or they say you do regardless.
Yeah, you just don't remember.
Are you a sound sleeper?
I'm a deep sleeper.
See, that's probably it.
Yeah, it is.
Rach
exactly
and I are both really light sleepers.
Yeah, so you remember more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, I was saying on the show the other day, I've had dreams about like my grandma Zimmerman who passed away. And I've had enough about her and the feeling I get from it that it's almost like she's trying to tell me something or God's trying to tell me something. It's the only reason I would have that exact feeling.
Well, for religious people in the Bible, they're examples, right?
Well, sure.
Okay, so maybe 2 years after she died, maybe the year she died, I had a dream that I was at church and I was sitting in the pews and I looked like 5 or 6 pews ahead of me and my grandma Zimmerman was sitting there. And she did not go to church and she certainly didn't go to church in Grafton. And I remember saying, like, what's going on? Why is she here? And someone was like, oh, it just means she's okay.
Mm.
And then like they played the final hymn or something and I woke up and it was almost like, it really did feel like God was telling me, like, your grandma's fine. Like, she's in heaven with me. You don't have to worry about this. And it could have just been my brain trying to make me feel better.
Mm-hmm.
But that's really what it felt like.
Jen's mom, or Nick's mom, Jen, used to have lots of dreams that would come true. And I've always been very dubious about that. But one, her family used to talk about that she had a dream that her best friend's dad, who was a tennis player, was laid out in his coffin in his tennis outfit, and she and all of her friends were putting flowers on his casket. And then the next day, he died of a heart attack playing tennis.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Well, tell Ryan about your dream you had about your truck.
Oh, yeah. Car. That wasn't a dream. Oh, it was a dream.
It was a dream.
So I bought my first vehicle I ever bought myself was a little Ford Ranger, and I lived in the hood when I was in law school, and I always parked in the back. And when I pulled in that night, someone was in my space. So I had to park in the front. And I was in the very back apartment. And I just kept worrying that someone was going to key my truck, you know, like take their key and scratch it down my new truck.
In the dream you were worried? Or this
in
is
real life,
life
I was. Okay. And then I dreamt about it. And I just kept dreaming about it. I could just see the person scraping down my blue truck with a key. And I had a girlfriend at the time, and I woke her up. I'm like, someone's going to key my truck. Someone's going to key my truck. She's like, you are losing your mind. Just stop it. And so I went back to sleep, and I had the same dream again. And at 3 in the morning, I pop up out of bed. I don't say a word. I run out of the apartment. I run down the hallway. I hit the door. It's one of those with a little bar. And just as I hit it, I see a car stop right next to my truck and a motorcycle swerve to miss it and scrape its handlebar down the truck. And I don't even put two and two together. And the guy tries to get away. He was drunk. So I run out there and I bear hug this guy.
On the motorcycle?
On the motorcycle. And the other guy calls the cops and the cops come and the whole thing. And once the hubbub's over with, my girlfriend was like, what the hell was that? And I'm like, what? And then it hit me. And it just, I can't explain it.
So
one of the most unexplainable things that's ever happened to me.
So I'm going back to the question of source.
Uh-huh.
Where would that have come from? Because would you say, oh, it's just my intuition? Because I can't wrap my mind around that.
There's only three possibilities.
Okay.
One is just pure coincidence. Just
sure.
Pure coincidence.
Sure.
The other is some unnamed, unforeseen force that just microtubules in your brain and something in the universe. Who knows?
Which some people would just say intuition.
Yes.
And just blanket.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then the other would be like some, you know, God says, hey, here you
or
go.
Or we could be living the same life over and
yes,
over and
yes,
over
yes,
again.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, it could be some sort of memory of your past future.
That actually is the most fun thought I've heard you say right there. That's a super cool sci-fi concept.
No, I believe
you've talked about that before.
I would not be surprised if we just live in a loop. Whenever I watched True Detective season 1 for the first time, I got really depressed because if you've seen it, it's really dark, and there's a scene where Matthew McConaughey's character is like, time is a flat circle. You just go around over and over. So every good moment, you live over and over. And every terrible moment, you live over and over. And that really struck a chord with me.
Well, there's a real theory in physics that the Big Bang, we're expanding, expanding, expanding. Then we slow down and we contract and we blow up again, which would be the same kind of thing. You know, we just keep living the same things.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, guys. DGS. So the lower bowl of the Sheldon is completely sold out. About halfway sold out on the balcony at the beautiful Sheldon. It is less than 2 weeks away. The band is getting together to practice twice next week. I'm putting the final touches on my stand-up, and it's just going to be a ton of fun. So we're going to have the whole crew from the show, Mark Close, Tim Convey's going to come by. It's going to be great, and we will be accessible to you.
And I know Sue's been working hard on her burlesque act.
Yes, so. Well, I don't even think she has to work. I think it's natural.
It just comes to her.
It's like breathing for her.
Yeah.
She can't not
do burlesque.
She always
burlesque.
Says life is burlesque. So
right.
She does always say
and burlesque
that.
Is life. Speaking of, I like this headline. Clown giving kids candy from car meant well, police say. So
all right,
some
tell me
old
more.
Man evidently didn't get the memo and thought the nicest thing he could do is dress up like a clown and drive around slowly in neighborhoods and hand out candy to kids.
Oh, he's old now, is he? That's ageism and clownism.
Mm-hmm. Like Mark Close said, what's wrong with dressing up as a clown?
That was one of the funniest things he ever said. Back when we were having all the clown sightings,
uh-huh.
And like scary clowns were chasing people through the woods. And he's like, what if you're a clown and you just want to go for a walk on a trail?
Is that illegal?
It's like...
You know, that's actually a good point, though.
Yeah.
Like, if you were a normal clown.
Yeah, now you're getting screwed.
No, forget it. I'm not going to take this position. That's a stupid position to take.
All clowns matter.
Clown lives matter. Here you go, Rage.
Yes.
I've heard you refer to Lucy as your daughter. 75% of women with dogs say that they're not dog owners or cat owners. They're dog and cat mommies.
I thought when you said Lucy, you were talking about that like missing link person that they found. You remember what I'm talking
sure,
about?
Sure, yeah.
I thought you were talking about...
No, that
about
is my kitty's huge. Name. I don't think...
No,
I mean,
hold on. That's what you thought I probably meant.
I always refer to myself well, as the mother about, of the missing link.
You talk that's about Bigfoot a lot.
Classic
So my
reach.
Mind went to the missing link monkey thing.
Thanks,
Australopithecus.
You know what? That thing looks like Rachel.
That's where my mind went after that.
I wouldn't call... I mean, I do call her... I'll be like, oh, she loves mommy because I think she looks at me as her mommy. But I don't refer to myself as, you know, like... I'm a cat owner. I'm in charge of her.
You wouldn't say that in, like, mixed company.
I would say... I don't know. I mean, I've probably even said it on the... I think I did a podcast with Jill Devine recently, and I did say that I was a cat mommy, so let me back up a little bit here. But I don't... I think it's just a fun thing. I don't think anyone's really taking it that seriously whenever they're like, I'm a dog mom. I think it's just cute.
Do you think people can? Like, when people don't have human kids and their pets are their kids, it's not hurting anybody, right?
Oh, no, not at all. And, you know...
Pets are getting great care. They're happy.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything morally wrong with it. So let people do whatever they want to do. As long as they're not hurting the animal, like dressing it up an extravagant amount and
that's
making
about where
it
I was
uncomfortable.
Gonna go. Like, no. What about when they dress up chihuahuas in sailor suits and stuff?
You know, I don't think dogs mind it as much. I've heard that cats really hate being dressed up and you shouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
But there are little dogs who have short hair and stuff, and a sweater can actually help keep them more warm and comfortable. I don't know. I say let people
Wiggins
do it.
Wiggins dying over there.
Let people do it.
Are you just thinking Wiggins' thoughts or are you laughing at what she's saying?
I'm laughing at what she's saying and I'm thinking Wiggins' thoughts about what she's saying.
Because, no, share, please.
Well, I just like the idea that you're like, well, I don't think anybody finds it morally unacceptable. Like, there's this group of people out there that's like, look, we have got to stop this stuff where we're treating animals as children.
I bet there are people out there who are like, it's sick. You shouldn't treat animals as if they're human.
Yeah, I guarantee you.
I don't treat Lucy like she's a human, but I love her. And she's my baby. I don't have a human baby, so I baby my cat.
It's sort of a related story.
So beautiful and cute.
A man wearing a baby bonnet stole baby formula from a grocery store.
Nice.
Well, if you're going to wear a bonnet.
A man went into a grocery store in Florida, of course, last month wearing a baby bonnet and shoplifted 28 cans of baby formula. Well, and he got away.
Baby formula is expensive. Good for him.
Good theft, sir. I ordered something on Amazon yesterday.
Yeah.
That's arriving on Monday. That ties in with that story.
Is it a secret?
It's a secret.
Okay. Great, yeah, don't tell
Just
us.
Just front selling it.
Look at this. A 33-year-old is so upset that his mom kicked him out of his house, out of her house.
33-year-old cat?
That he flushed his grandparents' ashes down the toilet.
Oh, wow. What a piece of trash. You're 33. Go get an apartment.
I've said this many times. I love my kids so much. There's nothing they could do that I wouldn't take them back. Whew. If you are so mean and so twisted that you would take my parents' ashes and flush them down the toilet because I kick your 33-year-old ass out of my house, that's pretty close.
That guy might have some problems.
That's also a failure on the parents' part that they let it get to that point. Where the kid feels so entitled. It's not a kid, it's a grown man. Where the grown man feels so entitled that when he's asked to leave at the age of 33, that he throws a temper tantrum like that.
Yeah, do you think there might be other relational issues like in that family other than just that incident?
Yeah, that was the first.
Yeah, that wasn't the first
blush. The first big flag.
This.
We're talking about kids a lot, so let me tie in a kid story with DGS5.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Actually, my thought went there because they're turning, I have twins, mm-hmm. they're turning five the day after DGS5.
Oh, that's cute.
So that's kind of cool. And so my wife and I have been talking about DGS5 a lot because we're trying to figure out babysitters mostly. And maybe we'll just bring them. But we're looking beyond that. We're saying, hey, maybe we'll have a babysitter for you that night. And they love staying at grandma and grandpa's. But maybe this summer we can also take you on a beach vacation. So we're looking at DGS5 as our next big thing. They're looking at beach vacation after their birthday. So they've been telling me stories about, well, this is what I really want to do on our beach vacation. And it's so interesting to listen to the mind of a 4-year-old and think this is what they think real life is.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them yesterday, I was saying, oh, your birthday's coming up. It's the day after you might stay at grandma and grandpa's or whatever. And they said, oh, yeah, and then our beach vacation. And listen, Dad, for real, I really want, when I'm riding the dolphin and I'm talking to it in the dolphin language, can I put a bow on its head?
That's great.
That's reality.
I think 4 is probably my favorite age.
That's pretty tough to beat.
Yeah. Whenever I was 16, so my school was kindergarten through 12th grade. So whenever you were a junior and senior, you could be a teacher's aide. And I was a teacher's aide for the preschoolers. And that was legitimately one of the greatest experiences of my life because it was like 10 4-year-olds and they all just loved Miss Rachel. And I just got to show up for an hour every day and play with them. And my last day, I cried so hard. It was like when Mark left. Like, it was bad. And I was so sad for days afterwards because they were all so cute and so sweet. And they're so funny because they have a full-on personality and they can have full-on conversations, but they're still so tiny.
Yeah. One of my nicest memories, I was a teacher's, a reading teacher's assistant, which really was just like finding something to do, you know, for 3 hours a day in a grade school. And one of my nicest things was I was helping these kindergartners read. And one little boy started crying and I'm like, oh, what's wrong? He's like, I can't tie my shoes. I've tried everything. I just can't tie them. And so I'm like, well, here, try this. And like, we worked together for like 20 minutes and he finally got it. And he started crying. He looked up at me and he goes, thank you so much, Mr. Man. And I was just
so
like,
cute.
This is pretty great.
Isn't it interesting how much more kids' emotions are just ready.
Oh, yeah.
And even I think back to even me 10 years ago or 20 years ago, I'm like, man, I was so much more emotional when I was younger.
What's great is if you look at like a 3-year-old, if you go to like a playground with your 3-year-old, and that's the way it's supposed to be because they go from euphoric to the bottom of the barrel. You took my swing. I'll never get over this.
Yeah.
And 10 seconds later, they're like, oh, there's another swing.
Yeah.
It's like that's kind of how we really are in our natural state.
That's true, yeah. But do you think, being the oldest person in the room,
mm-hmm.
that you become less emotional as you get older, or do you just kind of even out and you're just not as affected by things? Do you know what I mean?
It's a really good question.
Dave's kind of an emotional guy.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Last night, talking, and Phoebe's starting to get a little sore throat. And I'm like, well, you can't blame me. And she's like, well, there's no one else to blame. And I'm like, God. Because the narrative in my family is that I'm a drama queen. And
that's so weird.
Mostly from her. And then I said, well, at least I kept working and doing this show 5 days a week, supporting this family. And she goes, here we go. It was great.
And you didn't continue the speech after that, right?
No. I tried to pass it off like I was kidding, like I'm in on the joke. And she was not having that. Phoebe Glover does not suffer fools.
Can I put a bow on the dolphin whenever I'm writing? That's so cute.
It was a moment that I was like, wow, that's really what's going on in your head all the time.
Are you going to try and set him up with dolphins?
Disappointed at
well,
the beach.
It's even funnier because we're not taking a true beach vacation. We're talking about going to like Lake of the Ozarks or something where there's
cute.
Maybe a beach. But I didn't want to tell her there weren't any dolphins in there.
Might be able to find a dolphin.
That's the one fact that I was...
Put her on like a jet ski and be like, this is a dolphin now, whatever.
How much time we have here left?
30 seconds.
Okay. When we come back, I want to ask questions about your twins.
Okay.
Let's just go to break.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back, guys. DGS. Happy Friday. So we're talking about Wiggins has twins who are going to turn 5 the day after DGS 5. And here's my primary question. And I apologize if it's too personal. Can I rent them?
Yeah, that's too personal.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, my real question is, are they identical?
No, they're boy and girl.
Okay. And boy and girl, here you go, dumb question. Boy and girl cannot be identical because obviously they're boy and girl.
Yeah, think that through.
But is there, is there like a condition, syndrome, whatever, where they are really, really look alike, the boy and the girl?
Yeah, I think that's called brother and sisterhood, where they could look alike. But there's no real, I know what you're asking. There's no like medical condition where they split right at the last second and somehow became two different genders. No, I don't.
Okay.
Not that I know of.
So a twin is when it starts as one person and it splits into two.
No, not necessarily. That's where you get identical twins.
Okay.
Fraternal is two separate eggs, two separate
You just had
sperm.
Two babies.
You just had two babies at the same time.
All right. Gotcha.
Now, there is a third one, though.
Wiggins just said sperms.
I think
he says it a lot.
Every time I leave the room, he's like sperm.
No, today, let's talk about sperm.
Today when we brought back a roaster from culinary, he's like sperm.
That doesn't make any sense.
That's why you said that was weird.
Something I would say. So there's fraternal, and then there's identical, which we just identified.
Mm-hmm.
There's a third one that I think. Every time I ask my wife this, she gets so offended because I can never remember the answer, and I still can't. But she's a twin, so my wife is also.
Okay.
Oh, there you go.
Her and her sister look very much alike, but they're not identical. And I think there's a third type that she is or isn't. I'm going to offend her one way or the other. That it's one egg, two sperm. So instead of it being one egg, one sperm that split, it's one egg, two sperm. So
saying sperm a lot.
So two different
more than I'm comfortable with.
So two different,
and I'm comfortable with a lot of sperm.
I think I'm done. I don't know where else to go with that.
I usually have no problem with so much Wiggins sperm, but right now,
I always, I mean, I know there can be
gagging on
the
it.
obviously, because you just said your wife is a twin and she's not identical, but they look very much alike. It's always just so interesting whenever it's the same gender and they're twins and they look nothing alike. Like one's blonde and one has black hair and one's way taller than the other. It's just,
well, here's what's really weird. So we did, I'm getting really personal now. Sorry, Dave. With all this sperm, we did three different IVFs, like rounds or whatever. So our two oldest are twins because they were born at the same time. Mm-hmm. But technically, our third is also a twin of them.
I didn't know
them.
You guys did IVF.
Exactly. Yeah. So because they all came from the same batch or whatever you want to call it. So it's the way that it fell, that the two that got implanted first ended up being twins and older.
Uh-huh.
And the other one got frozen. And then now he's 3 years younger than them.
Wow, that's so interesting.
Isn't
I've never known anyone.
Like, I can't wait to tell the youngest one, especially when they get older, actually, you guys are all kind of twins, because he'll think that's so cool.
I wonder if that's going to weird him out, though, because it's like, so this was, we like, the thought of being frozen, and then whenever they're ready to have you, then mom becomes pregnant. Like, that's so interesting to think about.
Yeah, and he, you know, he was a baby. He was a blastocyst, not too many cells at that moment, but he was a baby, and
so he was a fertilized freestanding
egg,
baby.
Yeah, like fully formed blastocyst, which is no longer the two parts. It's one part put together now, and so he was existing, cryogenically frozen, technically baby. And then what's really weird is that the two the twins who are the same age now, they look nothing alike. But my daughter and my youngest son, who are 3 years apart, look exactly alike.
You were telling Andrew and I that the other day, and now it makes total sense.
It's so weird that I just said all that on the radio.
Do you have more frozen people?
No. We did one round. We were going to accept however many happened, and that's what happened.
Yeah.
And then the other weird thing, though, is that usually when you get, say you get five blastocysts that could become babies, they tell you, why don't you implant three of them or whatever, because the chances are that one of them's not going to make it or whatever.
Yeah.
And we only had three that formed, and all three of them became children.
That's awesome.
So that was an answer to prayer.
Hmm.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. I mean, it's wild to think, like, even when I was a kid, that couldn't have happened.
Yeah.
And now it can. It's just, it almost brings tears to my eyes, because it's such a blessing.
Did that become super, did that really start happening in like the early 2000s?
I don't remember.
Is that when the technology was available? Because I remember, like, that's when people were having four or five kids.
Yeah.
Because it was a situation like that where it's like, well, we'll implant seven and we'll see how many take.
I think the technology started to become available in the 80s, but it wasn't until late 90s, early 2000s that it became
more how long did
it also could have just been what the media was latching onto at the time. That could still be happening all over
how long
the place.
Did they tell you could keep it frozen?
I think it's pretty much indeterminate.
Wow.
You can keep it frozen for as long as you want. And really, what happens a lot when you believe that it's a child and you don't want to like dispose of it, basically abort it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of parents who say, you know what, we don't want that many kids, because you might get like eight of them or something, and you don't want, and if they're all taking, you're like, okay, by number six, we're done. You can actually adopt those blastocysts out.
That's
and
cool.
Other parents who can't conceive can do it that way. Uh-huh. I mean, technology is amazing. It's amazing.
It sounds stupid, but thank God for people who pay attention in school.
Yeah.
Because if it were just a bunch of me's and you's, we wouldn't have blastocysts.
Man, Wiggins is just full of surprises. It's like, by the way, I have CF. We went through IVF.
And that's why we did IVF.
Real? Oh, okay.
Yeah, because, man, we're on the radio. When you have CF, you are born with a vasectomy. So,
I did not know that.
Yeah, it's like it's a weird, like something on the same gene that causes that causes you to have a vasectomy.
Okay.
So we were like, well, I guess we know we got to do that. So we were married for 7 years before we had kids, which I think really was good for us.
Mm-hmm.
We really got to know each other pretty well. But honestly, we know each other better now because we've had to rely on each other more after you have twins and then a
third. How old were you guys when you got married?
26, so not really young, but we didn't have kids until we were 32.
Okay, so Now this is really getting into the weeds, but when you say born with a vasectomy, my understanding of a vasectomy is that you have working sperm, but we're going to tie a knot, so they just can't get out. So you had the working, they just couldn't get out. So they had to go in and get them.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, it's a little more complicated than that because I think when you're born
it is.
With a vasectomy.
I think Dave summed it up.
I think I could do it.
Okay. You guys ready?
Come here. Come here.
Let's do it.
You want to do this right now?
I'll pull a few out.
I'm wearing some tight jeans. I can tell you that.
So this has been Sperm Talk on the Dave
Lover
Show.
By 7, we're going to have a blastocyst.
It was a little more complicated than that, to be honest, because I think when you're born with a vasectomy, it's not quite the same as having one as an adult.
Yeah.
So it just works a little different. I don't know how to.
Do we have any time here?
Yeah, go ahead.
So I went to a urologist because I had a prostate infection. And so I'm standing there, my pants are down, he's on a stool in front of me, and I decide to make small talk because it's awkward. And I said, "So, a vasectomy, like, how bad's that?" And swear to God, he reaches up and pinches my scrotum really hard and goes, "About like that."
Wow, that's odd.
And it really hurt. But I couldn't, you know, it's
You're like, it's like that the whole time?
So I just go, "Oh, okay, you know me." I'm like, "Okay, good information, thank you. I'm glad we did that." But I was just shocked.
So uncomfortable.
I was just completely shocked that he just did that.
I've got a standard joke, because there's so many... I talked about these drug studies I've been in. I'm, you know, missed a little work recently. There's a standard joke that I can't help but use every single time I give a urine sample. Because it's so uncomfortable. You walk out and there's some woman standing there like, "Hey, I'm ready to take your cup of pee." And so I can't help but say something to kind of like, "Hey, let's break that tension a little bit." So I'm always like, "Here you go. Get it while it's hot."
Ew!
Yuck.
I'm pretty sure that's sexual harassment.
It's pee.
I know, but...
It's not sperm. If I was giving sperm.
It's always awkward. But like in the NFL, they will give... You have to do a certain number of random checks for drugs. And when Bulger and I were first really good friends, and he was still in the NFL, and the guy that took them... And they have to watch you do it. So they're like at eye level, right? Two eyes to one.
And they stare you in the eye.
And he would always talk about me.
Really?
So when Bulger was peeing into the cup and the guy was down there watching, he would always be like, "That Glover. Wow."
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.